Nearly a decade of economic expansion has made the gentrification of American cities a fact of life. Across the nation, old run-down urban neighborhoods are being renovated and transformed. Abandoned warehouses are becoming condos, and boarded-up storefronts are being filled with new coffee houses and restaurants. But the revitalization is not welcomed by everyone. Many working-class residents of these areas find they can no longer afford to live in their own neighborhoods, prompting resentment and backlashes in cities such as New York and San Francisco. In part two of this month's Changing Face of America series on gentrification in Portland, Oregon, NPR's Robert Smith examines the efforts of one thriving area to maintain a balance among different races and classes.
The Alberta neighborhood in northeast Portland knows what the bad times look like. For much of the 80s and 90s, it was littered with abandoned houses and storefronts. Gangs and drugs ruled the streets. Now the streets are dominated by art galleries and new restaurants. Rundown homes are being fixed up, and the graffiti has a very different tone. One stop sign has been altered to read, "Stop Gentrification." Another, "Stop Whitey."
That's become a huge issue, is gentrification.
Holly Morgan is co-owner of one of the new cafes in the neighborhood, called Shea What. The area is changing, she says, but it's still livable. It's still real. She has, though, seen a glimpse of the future.
Actually, last April 1st, somebody along here decided to do a little joke and get everybody thinking about what's going to happen. They posted signs up and down the street, "Coming soon, Starbucks," with, you know, the exact logo. "Coming soon, you know, the Gap was going to be up there. Banana Republic was going to be down there. Abercrombie and Finch is going to be over there." People freaked out. It's like, "What? Starbucks?" And no, you know, it was like people were on the phone. Like, and it took about a week for everybody to really realize that it's a joke. I mean, that's exactly what everybody's afraid of.
Not quite everyone. For many of the residents and old store owners in this traditionally African-American neighborhood, the success has been a long time coming. At Earl's Barbershop, for instance, Earl Clark isn't afraid of gentrification forcing him out.
I'll be able to be right here, hopefully until I retire.
We're going to do our part to keep him here. That's for sure.
That's Michael Kelly in the chair, getting a fade cut for $10. For these two, the area's revitalization has been nothing but good. Earl has plenty of business, and Michael was able to sell his home in the neighborhood and move out to the suburbs. He says people shouldn't mourn for longtime residents that move out.
People are leaving, they're going for a better place. It ain't that they're moving out or anything and selling out. It's just, you know, they get a better deal, you're going to jump on it. And they happen to make the deals better out in East County, you know, but what can you say?
And as for a Starbucks or Gap store on the block, Earl says bring it on. He jokes that soon he'll be able to charge $30 for a haircut. But there are at least five places on Alberta offering haircuts to a primarily African-American clientele. Can they all stay open if the number of black families in the neighborhood drops? Already other stores are facing tough choices. Welcome to Jara's Upscale Men's Retail. Despite the name, it's really the neighborhood thrift store. But the upscale part may soon come true. The landlord is remodeling the building and moving out the current businesses. Kareem Ali, who runs the store, hopes to move back into the building at a higher rent, of course, because he still believes in the neighborhood.
So far, it's still very livable. There's a good mix, and there's a lot of viable small businesses. It's going to be a tough struggle to keep it this way, but it can be done.
It's a line you hear a lot around the Alberta neighborhood these days. There's a hope that the good times can continue without leaving folks behind. And so far, they've had some success. Many of the new galleries and restaurants were opened by African Americans who live in the neighborhood. The racial mix is still more diverse than the rest of the city.
If you look at the demographics of Alberta today, they're probably among the most mixed-income neighborhoods in the country, which is a good thing.
Portland City Council member Eric Sten.
The obvious downside is that the cost of admission has gone way, way up, and people who've historically lived in that neighborhood are struggling, particularly if they rent it. I think the sense is that it's going to continue to lose that feel, which is very sad, although I don't think that's a done deal yet.
Councilmember Sten has watched neighborhood after neighborhood in Portland go upscale and displace working-class residents. Alberta is the last close-in neighborhood to see this kind of growth, but it also has special significance. Racial discrimination by the city and by banks led to many of the original problems along Alberta, and Sten's aware that there's a special scrutiny on this gentrification because of race.
If you only have one area of town that has a large African-American population and that disperses, you suddenly have no areas of town with an African-American population. And I think that's awfully frightening. And if it goes that way, it's a great loss.
And so the city has helped subsidize hundreds of units in the neighborhood. The Development Commission is giving loans to mom-and-pop businesses who want to improve their storefronts. And coming soon, $3 million of street improvements, trees, benches, public art. But there's a sense that it's a little too late to prepare for change in Alberta.
There's nothing we can do that freezes things as they are. You know, every neighborhood in the city of Portland is changing every day. Somebody's moving in, somebody's moving out, some business went bankrupt, and some's making a ton of cash.
The city of Portland, meanwhile, is really focusing on the next area facing revitalization, the interstate neighborhood. That leaves Alberta Street, in some sense, on its own. It has a strong business association, lots of earnest and caring residents, and the self-awareness that it's on the brink of going upscale. Phil Bussey, the editor of the Portland Mercury, is one of the people who just moved into the neighborhood.
It now comes down to ownership. Who's going to own this neighborhood 2 years from now? Is it going to be the same people that are here now that can keep their businesses here, that can keep their houses here, or is it going to change over?
Then we'll know if those that fell in love with this neighborhood, who moved here to be part of something funky, will end up killing what they love.
One of my greatest fears with this neighborhood is that this moment right now will be like a snapshot of a happier time. When I look back on it, a year from now, I'll say, boy, wasn't it great to be naive, to think that the neighborhood wouldn't change, to think that property taxes wouldn't go up.
Bussey's only lived in the neighborhood a year, and he's already nostalgic for a place that hasn't yet disappeared.